Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, speak to us, we pray, so that we might be better equipped to live for you and to bring glory to your Son, Jesus, in whose name we pray it. Amen. You might like to have a seat, please. Our Old Testament reading for today from Genesis is a well-known incident about one of the major characters who is recognised as a major character by all three of the great monotheistic faiths of the world, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. Many people all over the world know about Abraham, and many people would know about this incident from Abraham's story and make use of this story as a great teaching example, but perhaps not always with the same point being made, as we shall see. As the chapter opens, Abraham is alone. It's been a very long time since God had last spoken directly to him. He could quite likely have wondered whether God was ever going to speak to him again. On this day, though, God breaks his silence. He calls Abraham by name, and Abraham answers, "Here I am." Perhaps he was wondering, what promise does God have for me this time? What encouraging words might God be going to bring me? Then God says, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I will point out to you." These were words that Abraham would not have been expecting. Maybe he didn't hear it right. Did God actually want him to do this? Each word must have cut Abraham to the quick, deeper and deeper. "Your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love so much." How he must have wished that God had said, "Go and sacrifice a lamb for me." Well, Abraham would have willingly parted with one of those, probably would have parted with thousands of those, if only it would save Isaac. But no, God had said, "Take your son." Abraham's mind must have been filled with many agonizing questions. Why did God want him to kill Isaac? He forbids murder, and later on down the track we find he absolutely condemns child sacrifice as well. How can this be right? God knows how much I love my son. Why has he asked me to do this horrible thing? Now that we finally have a son, why does God want to take him away from us? What will happen to all the promises that God has given to me? How will they ever be fulfilled if Isaac is to be killed? But despite all of these questions, Abraham rises early the next morning, saddles up his donkey. He's made up his mind that he will obey the Lord and trust him. And so he goes and does what he has to do. But it must have been with such a heavy heart. On the third day of the journey, Abraham sees the place in the distance. And he says to the servant, "Stay here with the donkey. The boy and I will travel on a little farther. We'll worship God there, and then we'll come back to you." At least Abraham hopes that they'll both come back. Perhaps the Lord might be going to raise him from the dead. No matter what, Abraham decides that he will trust the Lord, and he determines to do what the Lord has asked him to do. Who knows how the Lord is going to work it out in the end? So Abraham places the wood for the burnt offering on Isaac's shoulders, while he himself carries the fatal knife and the fire. And as the two of them journey on together, Isaac says, "Father." How his son's words must have torn at his heart. Maybe he thinks to himself, "Don't call me father. Can a father contemplate doing this to his own son?" But he calmly holds his tongue and waits for his son's question. And the boy asks, "We have wood and the fire, but where is the lamb for the sacrifice?" God will provide the lamb, my son, Abraham answers, not knowing how true a word he spoke. But the two of them go on together. With weary steps and a heavy heart, Abraham arrives with his son at that dreaded place. He builds an altar, he places the wood on it, and then he ties up Isaac and lays him on the altar over the wood. Finally, Abraham takes the knife and lifts it up high in order to sacrifice his only son. And at that moment, the angel of the Lord shouts to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. Yes, he answers, here I am. Same response as when God first called him to go and do it. Lay down the knife, he says. Do not hurt the boy in any way, for now I know that you truly fear the Lord. You have not withheld from me your son, your only son. You see, God didn't really want Abraham to kill Isaac. It was all a test of Abraham's faith, and he had passed that test with flying colours. And so often, on the basis of this story, Abraham is held up as the archetype of trusting faith in God, a faith that is ready to take the Lord at his word and to obey him come what may. I've heard lots of sermons over the years that have drawn this application from this passage, that we too should be like Abraham and trust the Lord no matter what. And that's a good and proper application from it. Even the writer of the book of Hebrews uses this passage to say that Abraham is one of the great examples for us to imitate of just such a faith in God. But I wonder whether there might be more to the story than that as well. You see, Abraham had passed his test, as it were, but as he looks up, he now sees a ram caught by its horns in a bush. So he takes the ram and he sacrifices it as a burnt offering on the altar in place of his son. As Abraham had suggested earlier, without really knowing the truth of his words, the Lord would provide the lamb. And so Abraham, it doesn't make it terribly clear in our translation, but Abraham names the place where it happened Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will provide. Now, in this incident, in this account, in this story, we find a word that is mentioned for the first time in the whole of Scripture. And this word is in many ways one of the most important words in the whole of the Bible. It's the Hebrew word that we translate as love. There is another Hebrew word that comes just a little earlier on that's sometimes translated love. It's the Hebrew word chesed. I can never quite get the sound in the back of the throat. But it's kind of referring to a different sort of love. This word here, which is the common word throughout much of the Old Testament for love, is first used here. It's in the second verse of today's passage, God says to Abraham, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love. Now, we might expect the first mention in the Bible of this kind of love would be in connection with the love of a man for his wife, or of a mother's love for her children, or even a man's love for God. But no, instead, the first time this word is used is here, with regard to the love of a father for his son. You might be wondering where the first occurrence is of the equivalent Greek word in the New Testament for love. That comes in Matthew chapter 3 at the baptism of Jesus, where that verse tells us that God the Father said to Jesus after his baptism in the Jordan River, the voice from heaven says, this is my son, whom I love, in whom I am well pleased. The first mention of this kind of love in the Old Testament, Abraham's love for his son Isaac. The first mention in the New Testament, God's love for his son Jesus. And it's repeated in Mark and Luke. The first time that word is used in Mark and Luke is also the voice of God from heaven. But if you move over to John's Gospel, the amazing thing is that when we first come across this word in John's Gospel, it's in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God shouts from heaven his love for his Son, Jesus. But then he tells us that he loved us. Yes, us, the whole world. God loved us so much that he was willing to sacrifice his only Son, Jesus, in order that we might be saved. First mention of love in the Old Testament, Abraham's love for his son Isaac. First mention of love in the New Testament, God's love for his son Jesus. The first mention of love in John's Gospel, God so loved the world. We start with Abraham being asked by God to give up his son Isaac. And then in John 3:16 we find God giving up his only son to die for the sins of the world. In the story of Abraham and Isaac, we find a beautiful picture or parallel of the story of God and his son Jesus. As Isaac had only one son, so God has only the one son. As Abraham loved Isaac deeply, so God loved Jesus immensely. As Abraham was willing to sacrifice Isaac, so God was willing to sacrifice Jesus. As Abraham was to offer up Isaac on the mountains of Moriah, the future site where Jerusalem would be, so Jesus was sacrificed just outside the city of Jerusalem. As Abraham placed the wood for the sacrifice on Isaac's own shoulders, so the wooden cross was placed on Jesus' own shoulders. The stories are beautifully paralleled. However, there's one obvious difference. The difference is in the endings. Isaac was saved from death, but Jesus wasn't. What Abraham was asked to do, God has actually done. God actually offered his only son, his son whom he loved. As Abraham and Isaac were walking up the mountain, Isaac asked, "Where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" And without knowing how truly he spoke, Abraham answered, "God will himself provide a lamb for a burnt offering." Abraham was right. God did provide a ram, a lamb, if you like, that died in Isaac's place. And we're told that Abraham named the place Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. And then the author of Genesis goes on to tell us, or calls our attention to the fact, that it was said even to this day, the point when the story was being written down, that on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. A lamb has been provided that died on Abraham's altar instead of Isaac. But there would come, centuries later, another lamb. A lamb who would die not only in the place of one, but who would die in the place of the entire human race. Only the second lamb was Jesus Christ. When John the Baptist saw Jesus walking by, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." God has provided and has provided the lamb. Just think how much God loved us to give his only beloved son for us. The greatest expression of God's love is in the death of his son Jesus. And in his letter to the Romans, Paul says, "God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Whenever you're uncertain about God's love for you, remember that he sent his son Jesus to die for you, not because you were good enough, but because he loved you. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Yes, I think we are meant to see, in Abraham's willingness to sacrifice his dearly loved son Isaac, a great example for us to follow of absolute trusting faith in God. He's often held up for us as one of the heroes of such faith. But even more than this, I think in this story, we're meant to see a great foretaste of the amazing way God demonstrates his love for us in giving up his beloved son because of his great love for us. Amen.